So we're back now. We just had Skip Pond, who's an awesome investor. And now we have my wonderful, awesome lady, Tuba Warden, who I just love. She is such a unique investor. She has such a great story. She moved here, hardly spoke English, and I would never think that you don't speak English really? Very well. So, Tuba, how many years have you been investing in real estate?
Actually, not that long. I thought it was 7 years, and I was adding up all the years, and it's actually 6 short years, but I think I did quite a bit in 6 years.
You've done a lot in 6 years. Yeah. You've done probably what a lot of people would do in 24 years in 6 years, but that doesn't surprise me, because that's kind of your personality.
I'm that person. I'm like, hey, let's set a goal. Oh, that's impossible. Oh, okay, I like that goal. Let's just have it.
So you're doing new construction. Mm-hmm. You're doing flips.
Yes. And yeah. I don't want to do flips. I mean, that's what I did. Actually, let me kind of tell you how I started.
Yeah.
So I had a little bit of money, and I didn't know what to do with it. And it's $20,000, and literally I thought I should be doing something with that $20,000 for my future. And there's a big story behind, but let's not get to that. And I started learning about real estate investing, and I'm like, this is it. This is what I'm going to do with that $20,000. And I bought my first property, you know, with the down payment. And my goal was to get all of my money out at the end. Go fix it up, put a renter in, go refinance, and then get that $20,000 or even more. And actually, surprisingly, each and every time I put money in my pocket by doing that. So that $20,000, you know,
kept growing.
So that was great. And then I started flipping houses after 2-3 years. I didn't really mean to do that, but the numbers worked better if I was selling that, you know, property. And then all of a sudden, you know, the market got crazy, and whoever you are talking with is flipping a house. And I'm like, you know, it's just too competitive. And yes, you could still find deals. I'm like, so what do I do to find my own deals, like create my deals? Mm-hmm. I heard from somebody smart saying that, you know, in real estate, you make your own deal. So that's like however you do. And I'm like, I'm just going to start building houses, because I didn't see a lot of people doing that. They were just, again, working with an existing house. And I did. And I'm like, let's just go ahead and start building building houses. And after that, I just wanted to change that also and build, you know, bigger projects, like, I don't know, like townhomes and neighborhoods. And that sounded amazing. And I'm like, okay, well, let's just go ahead and try to do that. But the short of it is, I do flip houses if, you know, it's a good deal and somebody brought it to me, and then I'm not going to be able to keep it as a rental because numbers do not work, and then I sell it.
Right.
But I'd rather to build new construction at the moment.
So a lot of your buy and holds, you got rid of this last year.
Some of them.
So you still have a certain portfolio of long-term rentals.
Yes.
Okay. And then,
and my goal is to grow that.
Right.
Like, I'm into build to rent space. And, you know, with the construction costs and everything, it's kind of hard. But my goal is to sell a few projects a year, just kind of have some active income. My long-term goal is to, you know, have more passive income.
Right. Which is key and very important, you know.
Yeah,
so it's kind of interesting. You've done a lot of different things. You're fabulous at staging.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, you do a great job of getting a house ready to really sell well. And a lot of investors aren't really good at that. So that really makes you stand out. Plus, you got your general contractor's license.
Yes.
which is awesome. That puts you in a whole different,
yes,
you know, array of what you can do and how you can do it, than not having that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you knew then, when you started, what you know now, what would you do differently then?
I would use other people's money.
Mm-hmm.
It took a minute for me to realize that this is a good partnership. You know, use someone else's money and they are happy because their alternative is just put that money, you know, in a bank and not make anything.
Yeah.
And I thought it was just too risky to do that. You know, like banks, okay, they are institutions and you go and they give you money. But I didn't utilize that space that much.
So private lending.
Private lending, hard money. I mean, whatever you name it. Like, you know, I really thought you had to have money. That was the whole idea of recycling that 20,000 mm-hmm. because I didn't know any better. I didn't think that, hey, you know what? I can use that 20 on this project. I can go to Grace and mm-hmm. get 20 and then, you know, just whatever, give her mm-hmm. back with the interest, whatever she makes. And, you know, go do another project with this bank, go do another project with that bank. It's not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But with my, I guess, workaholic, you know, self, I think I would do that. I would just get into getting more private money, hard money from the get-go.
Okay. Well, that's a really good insight for people to take into account. What's been your best project?
Oh, that's interesting. I think the best one is actually is not complete yet,
mm-hmm.
but I told you about that one. So I was looking at this property in Hickson, yeah. Tennessee. Actually, a wholesaler brought me a deal, and I'm at the house, and I see a big tree growing inside the house. It's like 130 years old house, awful looking. I ended up buying that house. And I just remember, like, I turned around and I see this area and I said, you know what? I can just see a neighborhood here.
Yeah.
And
that's we've looked at that one. Yeah. That's a beautiful piece of property.
Yeah. And then my husband is like, come on, baby, we're late. Let's go. So, and then, I mean, it took a minute, but I tracked down the owners of the next door and the next door and the next door. And I want to say maybe it took about 6 months for me to buy those three, you know, lots and houses, mm-hmm. whatever. And I bought them. And then I went through the rezoning process and, you know, all the site plans and everything and got it approved for 74 townhomes.
You got it approved for 74. Yeah. That's awesome. It's a beautiful piece of property.
Yes, it is. I mean, just a great location. And Mr. Hickson actually built one of those houses and just beautiful trees. And that is very exciting to me. But it is not a complete project. So
but it is a great project. It's a beautiful piece of property. So what was one of your worst investment decisions?
It's just, I don't know if it is worse. I mean, it is definitely worse for me, but I bought this lot. So remember,
is this the Knickerbocker lot?
Yes. Yes, you know, I said that, you know, hey, yeah, let's just go ahead and build houses. Like, you know, I don't want to flip anymore. Let's just go ahead and do new construction. And then I built one and everything went great.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, this is easy. Why didn't I do this from the get-go? And then, of course, not knowing, you know, what I didn't know, I bought this lot, kind of like a hillside.
It's a very difficult lot to build on.
Oh, I didn't know that, right? And I'm like, oh, yeah, this is great. You know, I never done a dirt work before, but let me get a couple estimates. And one estimate was like $60,000. The other one was $30,000. I'm like, well, that's weird. But, man, two people destroyed the whole project. One was the dirt guy. They dug 7 feet wrong.
Oh, my God.
And this is a 30-feet tall site. Just think about 7 feet by 30 feet. So that was the first one. It took months for me to figure out, what do I do? Like, I mean, just, it wasn't easy because I didn't know what I didn't know. And I worked with another gentleman, and that's a huge lesson for me and, you know, for anybody that, like me, I trust people.
Mm-hmm. You do trust people. You're a very, and that's not bad.
But I mean, in this case, it was, because this gentleman, I mean, he made me believe that, you know, he made so many projects, like, I mean, he worked on so many projects like this, and it was going to be a piece of cake. He built the walls, like, these are huge foundation walls, like, mm-hmm, 12 feet tall, 66 feet long. And then, I mean, he did so many things wrong. Now I know, but I didn't know, you know, when that was happening. He had to come back and tear down the wall. And then he had to build again, rebuilt it. And I cannot tell you how many more mistakes he made. Like, you would be like, are you crazy? Like, really? Oh my gosh, I learned so much, and it was hard, like, you know, just not accepting the fact that I made those mistakes, because it's, at the end, it's me. Like, yeah. I hired the dirt guy. Right. Why didn't I go, you know, double check their work, you know, every day or whatever? I hired the foundation guy. Why didn't I go look, you know, what kind of projects, you know, he had? Like, I found out after the fact that this guy was going to places and working, you know, 6 months to a year, and having a lot of customers like me at the end, like, unhappy, and they want to sue him or whatever. And then he was leaving to go somewhere else.
Oh, my gosh.
Doing the same thing. His son and his brother, they don't even want anybody to know their last name because of him. So again, I mean, for me, it is, it financially, it was not fun.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, going through that.
Oh, it's
process.
It's a lot of cost.
Oh, absolutely. And, but, you know, whenever I felt just overwhelmed and upset, I just said, God, you know, thank you. I learned a lot from only one project. It's like going to a school, you know. There you go. But, yeah, it is a very dangerous place if you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, it's great to go take actions and, you know, just be aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be costly, and you want to be in a space that you can handle those mistakes, like financially or time, whatever, mm-hmm, that case is. So that was the worst one.
Well, yeah, that sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah.
But you learned a lot from it.
Yeah.
And now you have a lot more experience. So when you're doing your neighborhood, you know, it'll make a big difference.
Oh, I know a lot of dirt guys now.
Well, and people underestimate your team. You know, having a great team is so important.
Absolutely.
And knowing that they've got you, you know. So what words of wisdom would you give a young person just getting into investing, and then somebody that's thinking about retiring and where they're at with investing?
Younger people, hey, great to see there are a lot of young people, they want to be in real estate, especially with the FIRE movement and all that. It is great because a lot of people can make money from this industry. I'm saying money because, I mean, you can see that. Okay, so you can be an investor,
mm-hmm.
and or you can actually turn this into a day job for you. Like both of them, I mean, you can do both. And what I see that it's kind of different, like back in the days, people were investing by buying houses, right? Buying a house for them to live. And maybe, you know, they were just really trying to get the biggest and the best. So that could be their asset for their lifetime. But I think younger generation, they don't want to do that. They want to invest, but not on their own property.
Mm-hmm.
They want to invest either in stock market or real estate. So my suggestion for them would be education is the key. And I am one of those people. I thought you could learn everything from YouTube. And yes, you can learn a lot from YouTube. But I would suggest that they find a group
mm-hmm.
that they can leverage the network, their, you know, environment, and learn like more professional way. I don't know.
Yeah. So you've gone to a lot of workshops and seminars, and you participate in local investment groups.
Yes, I did. And then I decided to, you know, just kind of work with one.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, that created a good opportunity for me to know other investors nationwide
mm-hmm.
and just see their, you know, cool projects and all that. So I would definitely suggest.
So which one are you working with?
I work with the real estate guys.
Uh-huh.
So they have a syndication mentoring club. So I'm with them. And there are a ton of them. I love the group that we have. But again, there are a ton of them. They should just pick one, whichever, you know, speaks to them the
mm-hmm.
most.
Right.
Not everybody want to do the same thing. You know, there is one group that they are definitely focused on flipping houses, but they do it in a bigger scale.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody wants the bigger scale. Maybe
right.
you want to just go ahead and build two houses, one house a year, maybe just the new construction. Like there is another gentleman that I know, he teaches that.
Mm-hmm.
Like you go buy a land and then hire a GC. GC builds a house, you sell it, and then you make money. And it sounds, of course, easy. It's not that easy, I'm sure. But that would be one thing I would suggest them to spend, you know, more time. And just don't be afraid also. Just do it.
You're right.
Just do it. And for people who are trying to retire, that's a very interesting question. I don't think I ever thought of that. But you can build generational wealth with real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool part is there are a lot of tax advantages. So I would look into that. Like, okay, I have, whatever, 50 properties, 70, mm-hmm. and I have a comfortable life. But how do I structure my either company, trust, whatever I have, so I will get more benefits,
mm-hmm.
you know, from tax perspective. And, you know, if I'm that person, I would be looking into owner financing.
Mm-hmm.
I would find a new investor that, you know, hey, I just want to save the world, right? And I will partner with that person and, you know, get some sort of down payment and maybe, you know, sell some of my properties or all of them, because again, you have a lot of tax advantages that way.
Right.
So those are the things that I can
think
of.
Yeah, I think that's
right
a good strategy for, you know, that the succession planning is always the key and a mm-hmm. real challenge. And what I see a lot of times is that the husband is really involved in the investments, and then he passes away, and then there's a wife there sitting going, now what? This isn't my thing. Mm-hmm. So I like the idea of finding other investors and doing owner financing, because that still enhances your cash flow. Mm-hmm. But it allows them to get in with, you know, more equity in a simpler fashion than constantly looking at a bank for financing.
Absolutely. For the younger people, one other suggestion I may have, the times are interesting right now.
They are very.
So we are in a technical recession, but it's not a recession. So rates are going up, but they may come down. So it's just weird, not mm-hmm. just in the, you know, states, like, you know, everywhere. Like, it's just not normal. So with that, I would learn more about creative financing. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of cheap mortgages out there. I mean, people have 2.5, 3% interest rates, right? So there are a lot of cool, creative ways, especially if they don't have money, right? Young people, they want to be in this industry, but they don't know how to do that. So subject to or wraparound mortgages, they may not know these terms,
right?
But they should look up and then learn, because mm-hmm. I think it is going to be that era. We are going to be working with sellers directly and figure out how can they win mm-hmm. When we win.
Right.
And that would be another thing that I would recommend for
them
to look
into. Yeah,
I think
that's a great, great idea. Last words of wisdom.
Ooh. Okay, so I am a 46-year-old female with an accent in construction. So you don't see that often. And I started investing when I was 39, almost 40. And in, I mean, short 6 years, actually less than that, like me and my husband, we both lost our jobs like 2-3 years ago, and it didn't change our lifestyle. I mean, we could actually live comfortably with our passive income. Uh-huh. And I mean, that's the world to me, just, you know, having that comfort.
Yeah.
So I would say, again, if I can do this, I can barely speak the language, right? Again, I'm a female in an environment that, what do you think, like 95% of investors are male, maybe more than that?
I think it's changing.
I think it is, yeah.
I think it's exciting to see that it's changing. Yeah. I would hope it's less than 90, but I think you're probably right that overall it's probably still 95.
Yeah, so what I'm trying to say is just don't have, you know, unrealistic excuses. Like, just do it. If I could do it, anybody, gosh, anybody can do it. And find your superpower. Like, what is your superpower?
Right.
What do you love the most, right? For me, finding deals, that excites me. I'm creative. I have a vision that I feel like, you know, some other people don't have, right? What is your superpower? And focus on that. Mm-hmm. And maybe you can figure out the rest of them with, like you are saying, by creating a team, right? Find your realtor, someone that knows about investment, you know, world. Just find you a CPA that knows about this space, and then create a team. It's not going to be, you know, overnight, but, you know, just real estate is not a, hey, overnight, let's get rich industry. So,
right.
Yeah, just remember that if Tuba can do it, then you can do it for sure.
Well, I think Tuba's a superpower. You're fantastic.
Oh, thanks.
You're fun to work with, and you're just a bundle of joy and energy.
Oh,
so,
thank you.
Tuba, thank you so much for today.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.